their cop cars and everything.
That's what they're always telling you. Never let your enemy tell you how many of you there are. Never let the man that you're against form your opinions. This is the trick that's played on everyone who's oppressed. The first thing, an occupation, when you have a revolution in the country, the first thing you take over is the radio. And then you start telling the people that everybody, the war is over. And so all of them surrender. No, they believe that thing right there. And once they take that over, they start telling you where you are and where they are, and you fall right in line. It's plain thought control. The majority of the American people aren't segregationists. That the majority of the American people aren't imperialists. But the government is, the structure is, the power faction is. So, how then do all the majority go along with it? Because those who sit in power over the television, over the radio, and over the press is constantly telling those who are the masses how free they are. And how this they are and how that they are.
There you go.
But Chris, there are too many people.
Malcolm X told you, don't ever, that's a trick. They're always telling you, never let your enemy define terms, essentially. And in this case, tell you how many of you there are. And it's a different context, obviously, but maybe not. Maybe the same and maybe additional context. Because eugenics is war. So, there you go. It's astonishing to see how people can just, I don't know. Out of sight, out of mind. We've gotten to this point. I don't know. Maybe we'll skip ahead for a second. I wanted to mention, Lark brought up some great points yesterday when he called in during yesterday's RWR broadcast. Reification fallacy. Ableism and reification fallacy combine in a very provocative way. Over the last 500 years or so, we've been increasingly encouraged to follow the empirical data. That's, guys like Bertrand Russell have said that, and all of the alchemists who want to lead us away from truth and get us focusing on feelings and experience, i.e. emotions. We're told, we're encouraged to believe that outweighs facts. That's what Bertrand Russell wrote in The Impact of Science on Society. This is how you manipulate society at large, mass psychology, persuasion, the art of persuasion. Who is the ultimate master of persuasion? The shiny, flashy, fallen character that you see saying in Genesis 3:5, "You shall be as gods." So, Spencer Smith's Third Adam documentary series talks about this, the feelings and experience stuff that the so-called church is marinating in, steeped in. And so that's why they will see things like the quote that I read of Nietzsche that Larry sent me, "The individual has always been had to struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. If you try it, you will be lonely often and sometimes frightened, but no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself," says the guy who lives and writes from a perspective divorced from God. The privilege of owning yourself. It's a myth. It's a fallacy. I would say, period. Some people will say, "Oh, that's from a Christian perspective." Okay, well, fine. We'll say that, but I would maintain that it's a factual statement. Anyway, this reification fallacy thing, and getting people, what do you mean? I mean, this is a concept that I think most people kind of have to ruminate on it a little bit before it really starts to come into focus. This is why Ben Shapiro says facts don't care about your feelings, and it's a cottage industry. The reason it's a cottage industry, if there wasn't something that sort of underlying that in contemporary society, then he could say that and people would say, yeah, it's not a thing. But the reason it's a thing is because of the reification fallacy and its overwhelming pervasive influence, like a green fog that has swept across the land. That's why Shapiro can say that, and people, it resonates with people. So an example of this is, how many times have you watched or heard this? This used to not be so prevalent. Now it's just everywhere. Back when we had our heads screwed on halfway straight, but we are, you know, fed a steady diet of just emotional stuff that takes people to what has been referred to as their lizard brain, an impulsive, emotionally fueled state of so-called mind. And so how many times have you heard or watched people, you know, someone construe their impression of things, i.e. their views or feelings on a certain matter or person, as though their perception, feelings, and or experience are fact? That's pathological narcissism. That's NPD, narcissistic personality disorder. That's textbook clinical pathological narcissism. And we in America are notorious for this today. I think I've read about this somewhere in the Bible. You know, remember this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self. My perspective, and people don't realize they're doing it, because again, as Michael Tsarian has wrote accurately in this case, the psychically mutilated person doesn't realize how damaged they are. Today's America, who isn't a pathological narcissist? Who doesn't make statements? You know, Jordan Peterson has said it's important to be precise with our language. But who doesn't make statements construing their own perspective as fact? You know, people get in an argument maybe and someone says, you're this or you're that, instead of saying, my perception, or I feel like, or it seems to me from my vantage point. And, you know, guys like Stephen Covey point out with the image of the young woman, old woman, you separate a group of folks, divide folks, you know, into two groups, show one group a picture that's clearly an old woman, another, you know, a character or drawing that clearly shows a young woman, and then put them together and show them all a picture of something that is somewhat convoluted but could be construed as one or the other, and all of a sudden a fight breaks out, which reminds one of Ezra Pound's point about the technique of infamy, which is simultaneously inventing two lies and getting you arguing heatedly about which one is true. So, reification, the Marxist installment is also something that is worth examining, I would say, in this context. You know, this broadcast opens with, almost every broadcast opens with Andrew Breitbart talking about the cultural Marxist bent, and it's time to declare war on it and say enough is enough. And it's interesting, one of the reasons I play that is not because I want to foment further conflict or play into the conflict, but because in getting back to the purely communistic bent, so to speak, it's interesting that we always hear the, you know, Marcusean message of repressive tolerance. You guys need to be more tolerant. You know, you're racist, you're sexist, you're homophobic, you're this or that, if you don't indulge this kind of immorality and stuff. And it's a creeping encroachment. And it's funny how history shows, pretty much without exception, when that ideological bent finally, you know, it's the Marxist-Leninists come to power at all costs, dear comrades. Once that mindset reaches power, bad things happen. This is something that guys like Hayek articulated very well in The Road to Serfdom, saying, you know, and many others have done the same thing. Let's not look at the ideals that, you know, give rise to the discussion. Let's look at what happens as a result of this. And so, you know, that's what he, Hayek, for example, was talking about. You know, the egalitarian message sounds great. What happens when these people actually come to power? Oh, R.J. Rummel's book, Death by Government. That's what happens. Right. Just hasn't been tried. No, it has been tried. And it's the eugenicists. It's the, this gets to the ableism discussion. So reification in a Marxist sense, just convoluting the discussion and inventing, I don't know, in Ezra Pound sort of fashion, inventing lies and then construing them as fact or giving them more weight than they deserve. That's an essential tool of the cultural Marxist bent. Along the way, you know, I mean, the dialectical nonsense, getting away from, departing from a didactic reasoning model, allowing ourselves to be, instead of saying, no, this is right, this is wrong, holding to the virtue, morality, and religion the founders said was vital and essential to a constitutional republic. That's the undergirding. Those are the great pillars, Patrick Henry said. So if we depart from that and we start to entertain moral relativism and the dialectical drift, then along comes post-truth. Don't confuse me with the facts and reality. Give me a persuasive argument. The Oxford English Dictionary 2016 Word of the Year. Ableism equals eugenics. This gets back to my point or points earlier this week and before about how we're being conditioned to, I mentioned it on Tuesday. I was sort of headed that direction. Maybe we'll get back to that direction. And all of this, the bigger picture is, you know, it's September 11 is this Sunday, and we're in the COVID, post-COVID era, but not really post yet. And obviously it's much bigger than COVID. So this all is the same discussion. COVID is being used as a social conditioning and social engineering weapon. I think we're all pretty aware of that here. Even if, the psychically injured can't see that. So ableism starts to lean into how we're being conditioned. Speaking of the lizard brain, really not having nuanced discussions and allowing each other to speak, even if we have differing views on things, being respectful and considerate, speaking of virtue, morality, and religion. We're being conditioned to the principle of bivalence, for example, or what's referred to sometimes as the law, or what I would call the logical fallacy of bivalence. There's only one right answer. You know, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. And Biden administration is doing that. You know, we played the clip of Corinne Jean-Pierre saying, you know, if you're not with the majority of Americans on a view, you're extremist. That's ironic because you are the mouthpiece for an administration that is wildly unpopular. Speaking of majority of Americans, what are you talking about, Corinne Jean-Pierre? Who do you constitute as an American then? Do we need to define terms? But again, like Malcolm X said, don't let your enemy define terms. So the principle of bivalence, there's only one right answer. False dilemmas or bifurcation fallacies or false dichotomies. Schizophrenia-inducing baits and double binds, you might say. There's a lot of that going around. It's all kind of the same thing. Thought-terminating cliches, a.k.a. semantic stop sign or thought stopper, or, you know, what some people call bumper sticker logic. And as Lark has reminded us, Fritz Springmeier's slide, you know, these thought-ending slogans, basically like 9/11 was an inside job. Dead ends discussion. Well, what's wrong with that? He sent me an article the other day that gets to the 9/11 double cross theory. That's it. And there's some other. So let's see. Laurent Guillenot has written some other interesting stuff too that's, I think, worth reading and entering into the discussion. 9/11 was a Straussian coup. How about that? That definitely is not, I would say, a dead-ending. That's not a thought-terminating cliche. That's one that gets people, what do you mean? Straussian coup. So, yeah. Who's Leo Strauss? And so instead of neocons, maybe we call them leocons, as he says. You know, the New York Times renamed them leocons. Well, now we're actually provoking thought, I think. And, you know, critical thought and deeper investigation. So from Guillenot's 9/11 double cross conspiracy theory, he wrote, Victor Thorne, 1963 to 2017, wrote in his book 9/11 Made in Israel, The Plot Against America, published 2011. In essence, the 9/11 truth movement was created prior to September 11, 2001 as a means of suppressing news relating to Israeli complicity. And for those who would kind of challenge that, I would also refer you to the things, you know, Alison Weir's personal experience with these kinds of things. In the Talking Stick video that she did. See if I can find that real fast. Alison Weir. Is that the talk? It's a clip. No, isn't it? I always forget what it's titled. Yeah, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. Many folks have talked about this, but she goes through her own history of, her own experience. And, you know, then she goes through the historical record of the 20th century of, folks like Dorothy Thompson, for example, she mentions, and how certain journals and newspapers have been used to sort of expunge certain things from the historical record. And if it's not there, it's not published, well, then I guess it didn't exist. So anyway, back to Guillenot citing Victor Thorne. The slogan 9/11 was an inside job was quite possibly the greatest example of Israeli propaganda ever devised. In milder terms, it is controlled opposition, quote unquote. So all of this lays the foundation for this other stuff. Why is this important? Because of this, it leads to, you know, you get people frothy and all of this reification fallacy that enforces or reinforces the principle of bivalence. There's only one right answer. False dilemmas, thought-terminated cliches. It feeds into and funnels into the incitement to genocide, inchoate offenses, and eliminationism, ultimately, the discussion that, you know, we have to. And this is the point. If you're paying attention to the Donald Trump discussion, for example, or Trump Biden, these are polarizing figures. And ultimately, you hear people, supporters and detractors alike, saying, we must by all means and at all costs. Well, hold on a second. Think about what you're saying. That's dangerous. And that's when we start doing things that clearly don't make sense. The Brown University study I was going to mention yesterday, cost of the 20-year war on terror, $8 trillion and 900,000 deaths. That's verifiable. $8 trillion. Could we put that to better use, perhaps? Nearly 1 million people Then There's a Rock. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air. And 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
In the early 20th century, the Homestead Act encouraged thousands of farmers to settle in the Great Plains. A few years of steady rainfall hid the truth that the drought-prone plains were unsuitable for growing crops. Unscrupulous promoters promised settlers that the rain would follow their plows. During the Great Plow-Up, more than 5 million acres of grassland were turned over to grow wheat. Running tractors day and night, farmers unwittingly brought on one of the worst man-made environmental disasters in American history.
I wanted to throw that in as a parenthetical aside. As you know, we've gone from flood season to
I shall never forget the fields of wheat season. So blasted by heat that they cannot be harvested.
Yeah, I want to throw that in parenthetically. Since we've gone from flood season to forest fire season in the Western state, in the Rocky Mountain, you know, the area that Murray Strong said we should start rewilding and, you know, give people like him control over riparian rights. So incidentally, do forest fires cause deforestation, leading to what is known as desertification? Decide for yourself. Maybe look up the Wikipedia entry for the Dust Bowl and see also deforestation, desertification, tragedy of the commons, that kind of stuff. And, you know, isn't it curious how the slogan was, the rain will follow the plow. And you heard there, you know, a few years of steady rainfall hid the truth that the drought-prone claims plains were unsuitable for growing crops. Unscrupulous promoters promised sellers that rain would follow the plows. Well, how did that happen? Another, you know, Exhibit A is Jim Lee's weathermodificationhistory.com. Go look at how long weather modification experiments have been conducted that we know about. And, you know, so like I said before, what is this doing? The desertification, the deforestation that forest fires cause, the erosion, the soil erosion that floods cause. What a curious combination of forces that just seem to be on the rise. Every year is a record flood year. Every year is a record forest fire year, wildfire year. And, I mean, while we're talking about it, Bill Gates says, hey, you know what? Maybe we can work on creating or not creating hurricanes. And then Michio Kaku says, yeah, it's like bowling. You know, you just wind one up on the coast, the African coast, and then, you know, right down the lane of the Florida Keys. It's like bowling. So, that's just a sort of parenthetical aside. Anyway, let's go to the phones and grab Mike in Kentucky. Mike, thanks for holding. Thanks for calling. Welcome. I'm sure you have plenty to say about all of these things. Do we have Mike? No. Maybe we'll come back then. So, probably should get back to the Bill Gates stuff. There's plenty to throw in there. How about the Mosquito Factory? Do you know about that? The playlist, Mosquito Week playlist, the Mosquito Factory. They've done several videos about the Mosquito Factory. What is this obsession with mosquitoes? Hey, Bill, why are the comments turned off on all your videos, by the way? And to the audience, when was the last time you, dear listener, faced a mosquito-borne existential threat? When was the last time we all faced a... But malaria, okay, well, when was the last time you ever heard anybody had malaria? Or let alone that you were told you had malaria. But it's, you know, again, the Imperial College London, Gates Foundation granted them $79 million in March of 2020. What curious timing for malaria research. Hmm.
$9 million, huh?
Oh, there you are. Hey, Mike.
No matter where you go, there you are. Well, or here you are, because there becomes another here. So you're here. Yeah. Here you are. But I'm not there. Are you there?
I'm somewhere.
I'm here.
And you're somewhere. Yeah, I'm
well,
here too.
Yeah, everybody's got to be somewhere. I think we've already reached peak child, and that's why Elon Musk is talking about population collapse. But curious, I ran across this guy named Hans Rolling and his dancing circles and his BBC heads up holographic display, I think. Hans Rosling. Some of his videos are hosted by the Clinton Foundation. There's a video of some kind of demographic parlor trick that Bill Gates is participating in. And a lot of his stuff is pretty slick. But the thing that grabbed my attention is he's pointing to things like peak child and that the Earth will not reach beyond 11 billion.
Hold that thought. We're headed into a break. Yeah. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house, or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Second hour of today's broadcast. It's Thursday, September 8, 2022. Again, I would couch all of this stuff, you know, speaking of the Hans Roslings of the world, like Malcolm X said, don't let your enemy define terms. Never let your enemy tell you how many of you there are, et cetera, et cetera. So that should be, you know, we should take all of this alarmism with a grain of salt. Personally, that's my perspective. So Hans Rosling, the Karolinska Institute over in Stockholm. It's amazing to me, Mike, how we in America have been conditioned to think that we have to listen to folks like Hans Rosling. He's not an American. Oh, but he's an expert. Maybe. But it's interesting how we all get sucked into this mind virus vortex. Do we still have Mike? I don't hear.
Hello.
Hey.
I don't hear me. Am I on?
You're on.
Okay. I don't know what happened. Anyway.
Me either.
I thought I might have hit the mute button by accident. I had somebody talking to me a minute ago. No, that's the thing about Hans Rosling, whatever his name is. It's almost like in a lot of his videos that I've sampled, and he does have critics, obviously, but Hans Rosling is kind of doing the opposite. He's doing more optimistic and less panic-ridden videos,
right?
Because he is pointing out peak child and how that's going to result in a leveling of the population, and peak child has already been reached probably 10 or 12 years ago, according to
right.
him.
Mm-hmm.
So that Elon Musk is now able to point at that and say, look, we're having population collapse.
Yeah.
We're going to enslave the younger folks to take care of the elderly across this planet, because there's not enough younger folks.
Ars Technica article back in 2011, to your point, John Timmer wrote, peak child and the graying population of the developing world. It's not just the industrialized world that's seeing a graying population. And he refers to Hans Rosling. That was 2011. Fast forward to now, USA Facts just put out a deal in August titled America is Getting Older, which states have the largest elderly populations. And they mentioned that Maine and Florida have the highest elderly shares of their population. But you know, it's interesting. They have a map. They have all kinds of statistics and stuff. But it's interesting to look at. And this is a phenomenon that's obviously been going on for a long time. And that the video that we played of Bill Gates saying what he said,
I think it's
leading more lives lead to overpopulation. I mean, he talked about this curve that I've mentioned many times from World Bank. World Bank's been watching this, and Gates's scenario is essentially using that World Bank data. Anyway.
Well, what I was getting at is so many people listen to people, you know, and idolize, I guess, Elon Musk. When he says he's done his part and he's had six children, there's going to be a sector of the population say, oh, I need to make more babies.
I hope so.
I don't think it's going to be, right, I don't think it's going to be something massive. I mean, I've joked about it for years, you know, that certain demographics would come to me, and I might be willing. But, the idea that just take Alzheimer's, for instance. It takes something like four or five people to care for one Alzheimer's patient, and the estimates are by 2030, there'll be 60 million people tied up taking care of Alzheimer's patients, and they think
Alzheimer's
may reach 11 million people.
Yeah, now cross
just
that
in
with
the U.S.
Yeah, cross that with what Stephanie Seneff says about how by the same time period, the children born what is it, one in two boys will be on the autism spectrum somewhere?
I think that's also, you know, a lot of these things, they go parabolic. But at some point, it starts to curve off, you know, starts to level off. And that's the thing about the peak children. I think that's going to be the case with autism spectrum disorder. But there's also the issue of diagnosis. Like, they're nitpicking and finding right. every little thing right. that can be considered on the spectrum. So you saw the same thing with brain tumors and aspartame.
Well, yeah, and again, I mean, I mentioned Kerry Mullis saying, you want to get rid of AIDS, stop talking about it. I'd say the same thing about COVID. And what's her name? Oh, it'll come to me in a second.
Well, it doesn't work with monkeypox.
Yeah.
You can't stop talking about monkeypox if you don't talk about the cause, you know. Rocket men going to the bathhouses and just completely destroying their immune system. If they wasn't monkeypox, they'd get something else. Mm. You know, you can't repeatedly insult your immune system like that and expect that it's not going to have consequences. Hundreds of partners in a weekend or something crazy.
Yeah, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, was she the one, I think, who did the presentation years and years ago, the first real presentation talking about exactly what you're saying about the autism data and things and how certain things have been, you know, covered in that sort of fashion to draw.
Well, I'm just going to give that example of aspartame. Through the 1980s, you had better detection of brain tumors, right? But you also had increased use of aspartame. And so they had to actually just take apart the noise there. Did aspartame cause the brain tumors? And they had to analyze the statistics to show that an increase in detection, the ability to detect the brain tumors, did not explain the increase in brain tumors. It had to be another factor. And then when you look at the increased use of aspartame, it becomes more apparent that aspartame was a factor in brain tumors. So you get, you know, you could look at that in the population growth too. We have a preponderance of adults across the world, and they're not making as many babies, with the exception of Africa, and that's what Bill Gates is getting at. I've seen that whole thing debunked, where he says with better use of vaccines, we could reduce the child mortality rate in these ridiculously poor countries where life is really bad, supposedly, and that would help. The women would not have as many babies if they knew they were going to live. You know, if they're going to live past 30 and be there to take care of them and keep the village going or whatever, then they would have less babies. That's the thing that Bill Gates is getting at. I don't think that's true, and we may see a reversal of that as people realize that, oh my gosh, we're enslaving everybody under the age of 55 now is going to have to take care of old folks, because it takes four or five people to take care of one Alzheimer's patient. You know, and that's not counting for having to have part-timers and people when they're off sick and all that. You got to have people filling in part-time. But probably close to four full-time people to take care of one Alzheimer's patient. So that's an explosion problem that, you know, the numbers are all over the map. By 2040, it could be 100 million people just in this country that have Alzheimer's. And there's arguments over what's causing it, you know.
Right.
Zombie apocalypse. Problem. Could it be prion?
There's no question that, you know, if you go back 100, 200 years, there has been an explosion of that kind of thing. So what is causing it?
Well, there's some suggestion that it's a very, very slow-acting, originally was called slow virus, but these protein entanglements can take 40 to 50 years to manifest. So there are now 40 and 50-year-olds that are getting early Alzheimer's. What changed 40 or 50 years ago? And I think it's the way that the animals are their sacrifice to Mammon, like it talks about in the book of Revelation, you know, that people are tricked into eating animals that are sacrificed to idolatry, which would be Mammon in this case, trying to get animals to market in the maximum efficiency possible by causing them to be inflamed and fat, feeding them the wrong stuff, feeding them antibiotics, and feeding animals back to animals, animals that are not supposed to be omnivores or carnivores, or even if they, you know, in the case of pigs, I didn't know until about 20 years ago that pigs eat rodents. You know, I didn't realize that pigs would, if you have a pig around a barn, a guy who was raised on multiple orphanages and farms noticed this. If you have a pig around your barn, you don't have a rat problem. They will eat the rats. So in Isaiah 66, in Isaiah 66, it talks about the abomination that eateth the mouse. How many things are there that will eat rodents and mice that we use for food? And so you're talking about a path for pathogens. And, you know, in the case of cows, you know, they just recently in the spring of this year in England, they went back to processed animal protein being fed back to cows as long as it doesn't contain any cow. But to me, that totally ignores the possibility of prions coming from other directions, not to mention things like histoplasmosis, toxoplasmosis, and these spirochete-type bacteria that are not easily destroyed, with the exception of silver. I think silver will destroy kill those spirochetes, like the spirochete that causes stomach ulcers and cancer, which is H. pylori. So it can be destroyed by silver. But silver is not a very profitable antibiotic, so it's been ignored for most of the last probably 80 years in mainstream medicine. So you got, you know, a perfect storm of, I think, greed influencing our science and our food supply that could very well cause things like Alzheimer's dementia to escalate. And that is a, that I think will, just like that, what is that one guy that does the gumballs video? He does population and gumballs, and then he's got a population off the charts. And that's just looking at America. And when you just look at America, it's kind of you're looking through, you've got blinders on with relative to the rest of the world. But he points out, because of immigration policy, that we're going to have something crazy like 600 million people in this country, and it's going to be such a mishmash of cultures and languages and stuff that, you know, essentially America will be gone. It'll be destroyed.
Well, if we let it happen, and that's obviously by design, that's what Kelly Greenhill calls coercive engineered migration. All of these forces are not accidental. That would be my point. No. And so nothing accidental
they're
about it. And to hear it a certain way, it makes people feel powerless. And that's simply not the case. So
what
I've been trying to do, especially this week,
powerless,
is point out that we have choices that we make, you know, and
yeah,
we are conditioned to believe we are not. Learned helplessness.
Right. Yeah, that's what he points out. We could do something about it if we would, because the people in 2100 will have to live with the choices that we make. If we don't stop Congress from bringing in four times more people than traditional immigration since 1990, then it's going to basically erase America. It will be about like India. Our infrastructure will be overloaded.
And again, that's by design. Going back even further, from where? So Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965. Anyway, yeah, we're about to head into a break. So
Mexico is the plurality of it, Central America, where most of the immigrants come from, and they're not well-equipped to live here. All right.
Yep.
Well, I'll let you
appreciate
go.
Appreciate it,
man.
Sir.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Much appreciated as always. Yeah. Good information. None of this is by accident. That's kind of the point. There are folks who are creating these forces in what is construed as a plausibly deniable sort of fashion so that anybody who says, hey, here's a weird pattern that suddenly emerged, like some of the things that Mike was just talking about, and those who are not maybe have not done enough homework to give a sophisticated enough survey of the information dismiss it. And there's also, you know, the terrifying prospect of if someone can do that, what are the implications of that? What does that portend? And so the mind doesn't want to go there, so to speak. But as I have said recently and before, I think we have some difficult decisions before us. And a more sober-minded civic duty and responsibility, not a communitarian one, but, you know, I think we, many of us have been derelict in our American duties. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
We know of an ancient radiation that haunts dismembered constellations, a faintly glimmering radio station. Stormy weather, the flies and spiders.
sons that guard this roost, beyond your flowers of flaming truth, beyond your latest ad campaigns. An old man sits collecting stamps in a room all filled with Chinese.
There was something that I stumbled or restumbled across yesterday. I can't put my fingers on it. Communitarian deal language from, I think it was the 90s, like 93, 96, something like that. Wish I could find that. Maybe I can find that for later, like tomorrow or something. Speaking of a responsibility to ourselves, to one another, to posterity, all of that kind of stuff. What can be done? There is a contrast. You know, the communitarian bent says that there are, you know, the alchemical technocratic experts, the cyberneticians that will tell us. We have to listen to guys like Hans Rosling, because if we don't, then we're doomed. But the Kerry Mulliss would say that's hogwash. And he would, I think Kerry Mulliss would agree with me that my suggestion has been for more than a decade, three simple steps to return to American ideals. It all is couched in virtue, morality, and religion. Again, Patrick Henry said it best. Others echoed the sentiment. Step one is become your own expert. There's a saying in network marketing circles, if you take a person who knows nothing and get them excited, all you've done is make a motivated idiot. More than 100 years ago, men like Woodrow Wilson wrote, America would soon be ruled by experts. How did he know? Technocrats, cyberneticians. Today, the continually proliferating number of bureaus and or think tanks and NGOs smithing policy and directives is staggering. It's thousands. And it's never just one thing. It's, you know, that's part of the oligopic sort of way. You know, it's the oligopoly at work, where you don't just create one, because that's an easy target. You create a few, and then eventually, you know, one emerges supreme, and then out of that you birth a few more. One emerges supreme, and another, and another. It's the bad guy way. So I would submit that we all suffer from a terminal deficiency of expertise, our own expertise. The experts will tell you that you can't be an expert. Chris, you're not a foreign policy expert. I can read, though. I can think. Step two, stabilize yourself. And step three, you know, before, lest we be stabilized and reconstructed in nation-building fashion. And step three, take over from the inside out, which is not as nefarious as it sounds. It's just, you know, It's not even really, you know, fifth column unconventional warfare stuff. It's just, hey, exercise our civic duty as Americans. If we really are a government of, by, and for the people, then it requires our own participation, intelligent discussion, and so forth. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.